o'clock. Let's go ahead and start the meeting. It's welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's October 10th, 2022, 7 p.m. Roll call, please.
Yes. Schumacher is absent. Schimpf?
Here.
Pasola?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
And Millen and Reifstek are absent.
Okay. And let's see. We have Shelley, our director here. We have Daniel, Judy, and Susan.
Yes, that right?
All right. Correct. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Nope. Okay. Any presentations? All right. So then let's go through the minutes from last time and approve them. Second.
Okay. Motion to approve. Means
okay, second. Mm-hmm. Okay. Schimpf?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any correspondence?
No.
Any public comment? Okay. can we have the Friends of the Library report?
First, I'd like to introduce you to Susan Newstrom. She is fairly new to Yorkville, and she is also, as of this morning, at our Friends meeting, officially a co-president of the Friends group for next year. Susan and I are going to share those responsibilities, but she's going to be, you know, doing it.
Do you hear an exit here?
Yeah. She's got an exit strategy.
Yeah, I definitely do. But I'm just really glad to have her because she brings such a rich background of experience and everything to the Friends and has wonderful, wonderful ideas. Quite experienced in working with organizations and nonprofits and raising money and doing all kinds of wonderful things. So, do you want her to tell you about herself, or you just want to?
Sure.
No, she's going to be president. Tell them.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My background is definitely leadership and nonprofit, and specifically focused on fundraising. Definitely, I was executive director of a number of nonprofits, and also director of a foundation for a nonprofit. So I find myself always in that fundraising role. However, I recently retired. However, I still am faculty at DePaul and at National Lewis. I don't give up those jobs because those are great. And I moved here from Woodridge. I was there 30 years, moved here from Woodridge, bought new construction. And the first thing I did is checked out, where's the library?
Nice.
And when I saw the Friends of Library were here, I wanted to be part of that. And I see they do amazing work and hopefully support the library in many different ways. And I want to just contribute as much as I can. Mm-hmm.
So the next time we need a board appointment, you know. Yeah, okay. Well, anyhow, this morning we did vote on, at our annual meeting, we did vote on the slate of officers, and Susan and I are going to share the co-presidency. Sharon Mix will be vice president, and Sue Smithmeyer will continue for at least another year as treasurer. We try to rotate that position every 5 years or so. Since January, we have had 9 new members of the Friends. We have more members now than we've ever had. We have 56, but that's a combination of individuals and families. I would say it's probably half families and half individuals. So we continue to grow, which we're delighted about. This morning, we approved $2,000 for adult programs for the year. And if Mike Curtis needs more, he knows that we will be available for that money. We also had the wrap-up from the used book sale, because I think the last meeting, and I wasn't here yet, we were still doing the summer's end. So the final total was $7,610 from the book sale. And then also today we discussed the Friends' responsibilities for mini golf.
So question, the books, how many boxes went to Nigeria?
I do not know how
it's
many there were. Shelly, you might have pictures.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was more than that.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering what the total was.
120, 130.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
And that was their, but it was their boxes.
Yeah.
Their book boxes.
Okay, okay.
Wasn't it? They used theirs.
Oh,
they did? They did, yes. I wasn't here, but...
They packed them up themselves.
I get those messages from people. Yeah, they did.
I saw a picture of the U-Haul.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were discussing whether or not that's something, well, we want to contribute to them, or what we'll do with the leftover books.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the options might be have them free to the community. Mm-hmm. One of them might be to continue to sell them.
I think building libraries like that, if there's a community or somewhere that's interested in building a library, I endorse that. I think that's a fantastic idea.
It's a remote, right?
Yeah.
Is it a remote area?
Yes, Nigeria, I believe, someplace outside mm-hmm. of the main city areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
So, yeah, we thought it was great. So we have their contact information for next year.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we have the report of the treasurer?
Staff comments.
There's no staff comments.
So, I just wanted to ask, was there anything you wanted to call to our attention? I didn't see anything about the ordinary. So, with that in mind, I'd like to entertain a motion to pay the bill list, accounts payables, in the amount of $23,815.75. Payroll, in the amount of $62,675.90, for a total of $86,491.65.
Second.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Chimp.
Can we report to the library director, please?
So, just to recap on some of the programs that we had last month, Cheryl, Jeanette, and I attended the ribbon cutting ceremony in Theron. For our the story walk that we partnered with the Yorkville Education Foundation, the school district, and the park district, there were over 400 people that I heard. It was so busy, crazy. Yeah. We had 3 lines of people waiting to get their things stamped at our table. So thank goodness there was 3 of us there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So they are planning on probably doing something along those lines again, maybe in the spring, too. So it's just a really nice evening.
Lots of great feedback from families. And
they had, it's just the perfect spot for the story walk, because it goes around a complete circle. Mm-hmm. It's a third of a mile, I believe, all the way around. Mm-hmm. Beautiful installation of the displays. So it's a good thing for the community. Let's see, Miss Jeanette is doing a fall reading program, Read with Rusty, that's sponsored by the Chicago Steel hockey team. It will run from October 18th to the 14th, and if the students achieve their reading goal, they'll receive a complimentary ticket to the Chicago Steel. They're located off of, I believe it's Davian and Kirk.
Yes.
Out in Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, Ms. Jeanette's doing an interactive kids movie here in the library at 11. We did this a couple months ago in Impromptu, and it was really cute to see. So she has a script for the movie, so anytime they see a human or a bat, it's a script for the kids. They have to do something or yell. And then when we did Encanto, they were up dancing and singing. So cute. So cute. So just a little bit more interactive instead of just watching the movie. They're participating that way. We are also participating in the Chamber of Commerce Biz Boot. That will be Saturday, October 22nd. I haven't heard if we're receiving any donations from Wrigley yet, so I will reach out to the Park District and find out. We're still getting rid of the candy we had from last year. There's so much candy. Let's see. Iconic Coffee Shop downtown has graciously decided to sponsor our 2,000th follower on Facebook, or our 2,500 likes on Facebook, I guess, is how Caitlin is putting it. We're getting really close to that marker, so we thought we would do some kind of prize for that person. So Iconic Coffee has volunteered to give us a gift card. Yeah, so I thought that was nice of them. We had our 6 cameras installed, I believe I told you that at the last meeting. Those are lovely, nice, clear cameras.
Yes.
We also started our cleaning service this month. And ours are good. No problems. Yep. No alarm calls, so that's good.
That's good.
Yep. I'm sure they'll follow up with one of their site managers just to see how things are going. So we're keeping a list. It's really a small list so far of maybe things we need to remind them all and that kind of thing. Let's see here. We have an intern with YHS that is working with Caitlin this semester, and she'll be working on some of the marketing for mini golf, as well as she'll be working with Miss Jeanette to bring more exposure to the tag group. She's very excited to dive into this, and we have her 2 days a week in the morning.
Okay.
We met for mini golf on the 27th, and our next meeting is tomorrow, October 11th, Tuesday, in the boardroom at 10 o'clock. And it's just to go over, as Judy said, responsibilities. Caitlin has put together a really nice marketing packet for our sponsors that we're going to go over and make sure everything is correct and hope to get that out. She says tomorrow.
Oh.
She said by the end of the week.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see how that goes. let's see here. If you haven't been down to the Riverwalk, we have our scarecrow.
It's nice. It looks so nice.
It's huge.
It's really big.
And that's my walking path, and it is the nicest one.
I know. It's so good.
Mine
makes
so
there's a lot of them, but this, and it's the first one in, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's It's probably 12 feet high.
Yeah, and it's based on
the
wow.
It is.
I did want to know what book was cut up from the
feathers. It's hard in a book.
Probably War and Peace. That many feathers.
But beautiful job.
Every year, Jeanette and Cheryl do this.
Yes,
wow.
They do. They do a wonderful job.
It just happens
top notch.
Every year.
Yes,
this is actually the
top notch.
Year.
Yes.
For everybody.
For
okay.
participants.
So go down there and take
yep.
a walk.
Okay. Yeah. It's very neat. It'll be there till the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we have partnered. I've been talking about partnering with the Kendall County Youth Employment Program for an page intern that is paid
yes.
for on their part. We interviewed a student last week, and we decided to go ahead and have her come in and do the work for us 2 days a week, just for a total of probably 6 hours a week. So once the paperwork is completed, then she will be coming over. And that is all.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Let's see. City Council. We do not have any meetings, standing committee meetings. Unfinished business. HVAC.
So on in your packet on page 35, this is a repeat of last month. So on page 36 in red is just the newly updated items. So Trico had found two humidity sensors that failed and were not providing accurate readings for us. So they went and replaced those, and that bill is in our bill list that you just approved. And they also pulled the chiller pump diffuser strainer to see if maybe that was plugged. It was not. Which was good, and they were able to put that back on. So that's a little repair that was done. And another update on our utility usages. So, you know, we've been tracking that, and we just received our October statement, and comparing that from last year, at this time, it's a 60% reduction in usage. It only reflects about a $200 cost savings because of the increase in
the rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at this point, it's a great reduction.
Yeah.
And it looks like in 2019, only 376 therms were used for the same period where we were using 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we anticipate that number to go down as well. This week, Trico will be here to replace our boiler control that was out that should help this gas usage number as well. And the cleaning that they did on Monday is all done and complete. So
yes.
We were good to go there.
How bad is that bill?
I was just going to say.
I haven't gotten that one. Oh, I got the quote for that one. That was $10,800. Yeah.
That's the emergency one we did?
Yes.
Yeah.
The remediation work, was that to, we had to pay someone to observe it as well?
We haven't gotten that bill.
Might be $500.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that one. So, more to come. When the weather gets cooler, cooler on a consistent basis, and we know the chiller and air handler aren't going to be running, then Trico is going to come back and do these checks that to see if there's the leakage in the two systems.
Oh, okay, the crossover leakage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then at that point, they might even increase our glycol in our system. Because that was only testing for 15 degrees.
Oh.
Really?
Where it should be, yeah. It should be at negative 15 to negative 20.
Yeah, she said that before.
So.
Well, yeah, we got to get that down.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, I guess we'll go on into new business. Approval of our annual tax levy.
So, Shelley asked me if I would kind of present this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, who had sent an email out and sent some materials over for us to review, which are in the packet.
Which
starting on page 41, there's exhibit A, B, and C.
Okay. So he's based on the info he received from the county. He estimated that the library can levy an additional $80,947 of property taxes under the PTO, which includes new construction increment of $39,824 and the inflationary increment, which is your CPI,
mm-hmm.
$41,123. So this would increase the library operations levy from $819,781,000. Oh, we have a new number.
He sent me a hold.
Oh, okay.
They're in this packet.
So it's $822,463. That's even better. Which is currently being collected, and this would increase then to $903,410 next year, which is in Exhibit B.
I was just going to ask.
Exhibit C shows a scenario where the library levies only for new construction, which is likely that the city will choose to do. This would result in the library levy increasing by $39,824, totaling $862,287. And the CPI increment of $41,123 would be foregone. Now, if we go to Exhibit A, it shows a scenario where the library would levy the max allowable by law, which is $1,041,921 at a rate of 15 cents per $100 of EAV, equalize the sense of value.
Mm-hmm.
If the library were to levy this amount, it would be reduced by the county once PTEL was applied to amounts similar to the one presented in Exhibit B, which is the, give or take, the $903,000. He was planning on using the 1.041 million number for the public hearing in order to set a ceiling for the library levy. This gives us, the board, the flexibility, should it choose to do so, to levy every dollar possible under the new tax cap. The board would also be able to lower the levy as well to include CPI and new construction increments, new construction only, or some other combination of the two. So once we determine a levy for 2022, which will be collected over the summer of 2023, fiscal year 2024, at the October or November board meeting, please, there's a letter that we need to.
Yeah, that you would sign.
That I have to sign. Noting the levy amount.
The one that we choose.
Yeah, so we have to make a choice of.
So in the past years, you've always levied the max.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because as you can see on page 47, the CPI for the past 20 plus 30 plus years, the last year for 2021, the change from previous November was 7%. It's always been around 1, 2, 3%, and it was at 7, and it gets capped at 5% by the PTEL. So if we don't levy,
can't do the highest.
then we it can't catch up right. from year to year to year. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk.
Sir, I entertain a motion that we approve the highest amount allowable.
Exhibit A.
Yes, exhibit A. Exhibit A.
Yeah. All right.
So we're going into the next budget year, we're going to have to think about an aging building.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to have to think about offering competitive wages for our part-time people because...
Well, we have the minimum wage increase happening
correct.
Every year. And
yes.
that's been hitting us hard. Mm-hmm. So...
And then all the
HVAC
all the issues
right.
that we're
and
having.
And then any other
they may come
building
up.
Upgrades that need to be addressed as well. Mm-hmm. So...
Okay. Are there any other, is there more discussion? Anybody want to bring anything else up about this motion? I'll second the motion that we opt for Exhibit A in the packet.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
And Pasola?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so next would be approval of library closing dates for 2023.
Okay, so on page 51 of your packet, it looks crazy, but I want to just explain and talk through all of the information I have here. So anything in bold starred is showing that when a holiday falls on a Sunday, and we're closed on Sundays, that we close the following Monday. We observe that holiday then. So like our first instance, New Year's Day, falls on Sunday, January 1st. I propose that we close on Monday, January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also what the city is doing as well. If, for some reason, a holiday falls on a Saturday, and we're open on Saturday, so we would close that Saturday, but our full-time staff does not work on that paid holiday, so they would take a flex-time holiday for that.
So they would either do like a Friday or a Monday?
Or any
day.
In that paid period,
okay.
Yeah.
So they would get a floating holiday?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's only the full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so anything in red, I just put on here, just so you could see it. These are federal holidays that the library is open.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't be on this list, but I just wanted to show that to you. Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth,
mm-hmm.
and Columbus Day or Indigenous Day.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what's highlighted in yellow, these are days that the city observes. That's different from the library. So Good Friday, the city closes a full day, whereas we close at 1 o'clock. Veterans Day is the federal holiday is being observed on that Friday, but the actual Veterans Day is Saturday, and we're open. So I'm not sure if we should close that day.
On the Saturday? Or the Friday.
Or observe it on, I think we should close on Saturday, the day of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But we'll go down.
Because that's what we've done in the past, right? Have we always closed like on the actual holiday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Schools are open.
On which day?
Yes.
For the 10th, right? Just the city.
Yeah. Schools. Like
schools are open for Veterans Day. They
yes.
bring in, like at Bristol Bay,
yeah.
they bring in veterans.
Yeah.
Have a,
yeah.
Okay. And then day after Thanksgiving, we are open. The city is closed. And then this Christmas Eve for 2023 falls on Sunday. And we are closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Right.
So we will be closed Monday for Christmas. And the city is closing Tuesday, the 26th, in observance of Christmas Eve.
So it's...
So we can do that as well. This took me forever.
So instead of closing on this Saturday, or you're
Friday?
I
think
it's Friday. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sunday.
You wouldn't do Friday and then be open Saturday.
Yeah, that doesn't.
To me, I feel the 26th, like you have highlighted, is the better way to go. Yeah. It's a little more consistent instead of
breaking up the days.
Okay, yeah. So in saying that, fast forward one more week. We have closed New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. So the same scenario happens.
So on a Tuesday?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That means, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with the Tuesday.
All right, just making sure.
It's a Saturday and then.
So, this page will look like New Year's Day. We are observing it Monday, January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King Day will not be on there. I put the mini golf fundraiser on here.
Yes,
we are not open on Sunday, just so you know, but
okay.
I'm going to take that off for public notice. President's Day is Monday, the 20th. Good Friday, we're still closing at 1 p.m. Memorial Day falls on a Monday. I will take Juneteenth off. Independence Day falls on Tuesday. We'll be closed on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Labor Day falls on Monday. We'll be closed on Monday. I will take Columbus Day off. We're open. Veterans Day, we will close on Saturday. Thanksgiving Eve, we always close at 5 o'clock. And we're closed Thanksgiving Day. We are open the day after Thanksgiving. Christmas Eve, we will observe on Tuesday, the 26th. And Christmas Day, we will observe on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve, we will observe on Tuesday, January 2nd. And New Year's Day, we will close on Monday, January 1st.
All right.
Make a motion to approve the list of holidays for the calendar year 2023 as presented.
Second.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Fasola?
Yes.
And Wachuski?
Yes.
Page 53 is just the list of the board meetings. And Columbus Day, October 9th, we're open. So these are all the dates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So motion to approve the board meeting dates as presented.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Schumacher? I'm sorry, Schum? Yes. Fasola? Wachuski?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes. Okay. Let's see. So there's no reason to go into executive session, so we are adjourned.